Today is the feast day of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, the commemoration and the last gospel taken from the Ember Friday of Advent. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I can do all things in him who strengtheneth me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Each year, just before Christmas, comes the feast day of a saint whose canonization, I believe in 1946 or 47, under Pope Pius XII, must have been a wonderful gift for the Catholics in our country because it marked the canonization of the first American saint. Like so many Americans, she was born in a foreign land and crossed the ocean to come for a good purpose to our country. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini.
This is Friday, and she is a very great saint of the Sacred Heart. Wherever she would set up a convent, the first thing that she would always do would be to put up a statue of the Sacred Heart. And the Sacred Heart was her strength, the source of her spirituality, and the source, too, of the great fruitfulness of her apostolate for charity, for souls. In Advent, when we long for the coming of Christ's kingdom, we have St. Francis Xavier Cabrini at the end, and St. Francis Xavier, after whom today's saint was named, the great missionary of the 16th century, at the beginning of Advent. Interesting, they both of them traveled great, great distances over the water. The first time St. Francis Xavier went to India, he was sick the whole time, but he used his time well in order to convert the sailors. He was so zealous for souls. And he would spend, as St. Francis Xavier would, hours playing cards with the sailors on deck during their off times, simply as a way, as a good Jesuit would, to be able to get to know the men, get their confidence, and then draw them to Christ. Eventually, all of the men went to confession and Holy Communion by the time that long and, for him, very difficult voyage was over. As a girl, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini almost drowned once in a river, and she had a very great fear of water and of drowning. But she conquered that to travel over 30 times back and forth across the Atlantic. And all of this, like her patron saint, the great missionary of the 16th century, for the sheer and the pure love of souls. This is Advent. During Advent, we especially love to meditate upon the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. The Church on Ember Wednesday gave us the first joyful mystery, and today, in our last Gospel, we commemorate the second, the Visitation. In a sense, the life of this very Advent saint, Francis Xavier Cabrini, was a series of annunciations. God's will came to her, usually not what she was looking for, but in almost every case, she would just bow her head and say, "Thy will be done," with a couple of exceptions. As a young lady, she felt called to the religious state. She applied to several convents, but these congregations of sisters turned her down, saying her health was not good or strong enough for the religious life. Then the local parish priest had a group of pious ladies who had banded together in a kind of a religious life and were running an orphanage. But there were many irregularities, and seeing this pious and very sensible apostolic young lady in his parish, he said, go over there. You live with those women in that orphanage and see if you can't help them to be more like sisters should be, and organize the orphanage while you're at it." Well, the women resented the interference. She obeyed the priest, but the women would not obey her, and there was great grief, and more than once she would have left, except she stayed for the sake of the children. And finally, things came to a head, and the little sort of a self-made convent was dissolved, and St. Francis ended up going to Rome to see the Holy Father, the great Leo XIII. And on her knees before him, she proposed to him what she wanted to do. As a little girl, she conceived the idea of being a missionary in China. And she would make little boats, and she'd have little dolls in the boats, and the boats would always head off to China. So she asked the Holy Father, "Could I be a missionary in China?" And the Pope said to her, "No, go to the West, go to the United States, and South America too," because he knew the sad story. It's always the case with Catholic immigrants, how there were thousands and thousands uprooted from their customs and from their villages, who were no longer practicing the faith, who were no longer receiving the sacraments, and who were prey either to American commercialism or to some form of Protestantism, or even worse. And so she obeyed the Holy Father, and she went to New York. She had originally been invited by the Bishop of New York, but then he had written to her to rescind or take back the invitation. Too late, she didn't get that letter. And when she arrived in New York City, there was no one to meet her and her fellow sisters. When they went to see the bishop, he said, "Well, I wrote to you and I said I didn't think it was such a good idea. There won't be the support. You had better just go on back to Italy." For once in her life, and to a powerful bishop, she said no, because the great bishop of Rome had told her go, and she was going to be obedient to the Holy Father. Their first night, the bed bugs were so bad in the cheap little hotel where they stayed that the sisters couldn't lay down or sleep. And yet, their work began. Some pious, wealthy woman gave them a house in a very fashionable area on Fifth Avenue. And pretty soon they were able to buy a house from the Jesuits. She found water in this country estate and opened up an orphanage, and the work began to prosper. She was used to running orphanages, and she thought that would be her life's work. But there was an Italian priest who had started a hospital. The hospital was failing. It was proposed to her that her sisters take over its administration. She said no, thinking to herself, "I don't know anything about hospitals. I couldn't possibly do this work." But that was not God's will. The Blessed Mother appeared to her in a dream that night with her habit pinned back, and she was attending the sick. And then Our Lady looked at her in the dream, and she said, "I'm doing the work that you are refusing to do." Well, the next morning, she certainly backtracked and said, "Yes, I will take the hospital." And that became really the great work of the missionaries of the Sacred Heart, the running of hospitals. One time she sent a couple of sisters to New Orleans with, as usual, absolutely no money, but just very great faith in God's providence. And she said, "Now, just beg for money. And when you get some money, then let me know when you're successful, and I'll come and we'll open up a proper convent." So they begged on the street, and they finally achieved the grand total of $17.50. And they sent a telegram to Mother Cabrini saying, "Success, come and found a convent." And so with these $17.50, they rented 3 rooms, and they started a convent, having installed the Sacred Heart there. The Annunciation in the life of a Christian, as in the life of the Mother of God herself, always leads to the Visitation, which is specifically today's mystery for our meditation. The Visitation, you know, has 2 distinct elements to it. The first of these is utterly practical, and the second of these is mystical and totally of the Holy Ghost. The practical element was this, the great travel that she did all around the world Wherever there were souls in need of her and her sister, she went there, she worked, she climbed the Andes, crossed the Andes herself by foot. She worked for a while in Panama in a jungle. Perhaps there she caught the malaria that would eventually take her life. Whatever work needed to be done, she did, whether it was laying bricks or cooking or sewing or teaching. One time, I think it was in New York or Chicago, the bishop came to see her, and he found a nun in a work habit sweeping the front hall. And he said, could you please tell the Mother Superior that the bishop is here? And the little worker, the sweeper, said, yes, Your Excellency. And in a moment, she came back with her full habit on, and it was indeed Mother Gabrini who was sweeping the hall herself. Just like Our Lady. You can imagine Our Blessed Lady at the Visitation. If something needed to be done, she did it. Quietly, sweetly, discreetly, and with great, great charity, she took care of everything for her cousin Elizabeth in her old age, who was about to give birth to John the Baptist. But on the other hand, the Visitation is always a mystical grace as well. Here Our Blessed Lady stops on the doorstep of Anne and Elizabeth, of Elizabeth and Zachary, and having heard the greeting, the Holy Ghost speaks to her. The beautiful canticle the church still sings, so enthralled is she with it, every night at the Magnificat, of the Vesper service, the church's office of thanksgiving towards evening. My soul doth magnify the Lord. The Holy Ghost spoke through her. Of all the possible pictures of this very great first American saint and great missionary, a worthy daughter of St. Francis Xavier and a worthy daughter of the Sacred Heart, my favorite picture is this. I see her sleeping. I saw her bed in outside of Denver, Colorado, a couple of years ago. And you see, they have like a little museum. It's very interesting. And I see her sleeping peacefully, and under her pillow, her alarm clock. She had an old wind-up alarm clock, and she would set it an hour early. No matter how late she got to bed, she wanted that hour with Our Lord of mystical, quiet prayer, so that Our Lord could strengthen her for all that had to be done that day. And for fear that sometimes the flesh would rebel, she wouldn't wake up, she would sleep with the alarm clock right under her ear, so she would hear it, and she would get up, and she would have her time of prayer. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. You know, when you have complaints of problems and difficulties, and who doesn't, Our Lord, the Sacred Heart, offers to you, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I am meek and humble of heart. It is interesting, Our Lord says, if you've got problems, take my problems on you. How does that work? As soon as we receive Our Lord's problems, which are the problems of the salvation of the whole world and the glory of His Father, then our own problems seem so little, don't they? And instead of being problems, they turn into possibilities for glory for God and for the salvation of our neighbor, just as the Blessed Mother begs us to do that by offering everything through her, beginning with our morning offering through her Immaculate Heart. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and humble of heart. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini used to say, people say that I am an instrument of God, but I don't see myself that way. I stand back and I see the work that is being done, and I know it is being done purely and directly by God Himself, and not a bit of it by me. I can do all things, these were her favorite words, in Him who strengthens me. Just like the angel strengthened our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, so too did the Sacred Heart strengthen this saint every day to do great, great things for God. Truly, we should be proud of our first American saint, and very devoted to her. Her spirituality offers us a wonderful way to do at least something for our Lord. But remember this. Think of the alarm clock sometimes. Be generous with God in your prayer. But remember this most of all. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. If we take His burdens on us, on our own shoulders, what a difference that makes for our carrying our own. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.